everything that we, every change that we make in society or anything that we do has a price. Right? Even if it's a good thing, it has a price. So for example, seatbelts in a car is a very good thing, saves lives, but it has a price. It's not like some people have gotten stuck in a car because of seatbelts and have, you know, been burnt in their car and couldn't get out because the seatbelt got stuck, right? Even good things have a price. And the reason why it's important to acknowledge that is when you acknowledge that, you try to mitigate it. You try to limit how much the price is.
You are listening to The JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The JP Show. So today, before we jump into today's topic, which actually I'm not 100% sure what it is. Last week I took hold of the topic. This week we're back to Rabbi Levy. But I just wanted to mention, I'd love to have your input as well. Last night, myself and Rabbi Levy attended the Yom HaZikaron event at the Central Synagogue. It was very powerful, I think is one word this year. Very real. Obviously, Yom HaZikaron, remembering the fallen soldiers of the IDF and the victims of terror, takes on a whole new dimension this year. But the program itself just this year had people who were sharing very personal experiences, either of themselves or their close relatives, and it was very confronting, positively so, and very, I thought, and very very real and very, very powerful. And it definitely should, at least, I don't know if it did enough, but it should shake people out of their comfort zone a little bit. What do you think about
it? Yeah, no, I think so too. I think it was, it's moving every year, but this year was incredibly moving. I think the past few months for all of us have been difficult, but I think last night sort of brought it home in a very, very real way. It became extremely real. We heard from a survivor from the Nova Music Festival, what she saw happening there, and it was just, the whole thing was, I must say, you know, we shouldn't only focus on the sadness, although it is very, very sad. One of the things that really stuck out to me is that every single person that spoke about one of the soldiers that died, two themes, I think, came out about every single one of them. One theme was their smile. Every single person mentioned that had an amazing, in other words, they were extremely positive people. They had an infectious smile, and they walked into the room, they livened it up. That was a very common theme, that everyone was remembering about the people that died. And as well as their sacrifice and their commitment and their lack of selfishness also. Yeah. The selflessness of these soldiers, of these officers, of these people just go into the line of fire, first of all, to protect Israel as a whole, but also to protect their fellow soldiers, and just a complete lack of ego, I think is incredibly inspiring and something we can all learn from, I think, to bring it to our own life.
So I think you're 100% right. And I think also, besides that, so there was that inspiring part that came out of it. But even the very sad parts of real grief and tragedy, I think even that needs to do what it needs to do. In other words, it could do two things. It can either send us very deeply and further into despair. Hmm. We've talked about this before. Or it can really say, you know, what am I doing? I think what I felt last night is, I think someone even said it, like, we've got to join this fight. We've got to be part of it, and in the way that we can.
Yeah.
And they spoke about it. They spoke about Jewish pride and you know, standing up tall, and as all those soldiers. I mean, I'm blown away when I see videos of the morale of the soldiers there, who know they're going into harm's way, who know they're doing risky things. It's just amazing what they say, how they sing before and how they talk about it. It's just incredible. And the question is, are we waking up?
Yeah.
But not waking up in a distraught way, because I think that creates paralysis, and I don't think it does anyone good.
Yeah.
From a spiritual point of view, and even from a morale point of view, I don't think we're supporting the effort and the soldiers if we just become despondent. I think we need to continuously think about it, but take those messages of self-sacrifice, like you say, messages of selflessness and dedication, and just do more to be Jewish, do more to be proudly Jewish, do more to show that we're Jewish, Jewish observance, Jewish ritual, whatever it is that's going to make us more Jewish and proud, and show the world that we're here to stay, we're eternal, Am Yisrael Chai, as was mentioned so many times last night.
Yeah.
And keep on going, tall and proud.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's was very, very
it
powerful.
Was heavy, but it was powerful, for sure.
Very powerful.
So on a little more of a lighter note,
yep.
although this may lead back to this, I don't know, we'll see where this takes us. So I wanted to talk about a topic today which was inspired, I read an article on Shabbos. I'm not going to mention the name of the magazine here, but we get a sort of a religious magazine every week. There's an expression that the kids say nowadays, if you know, you know. I'm not sure if you've come across that. Anyway, if you know, you know. But anyway, so it was an article, just to put it into context, about what we call in Hebrew, Shana Rishona, which means the first year of marriage, which in more religious, I think for anyone, marriage is an adjustment. Anyone who gets married, your life changes, hopefully for the better. But it's a change, it's an adjustment. But particularly when we're talking about, I think we may have spoken about this in the past, in more sort of religious circles where they don't date for very long, they don't really know each other that well, and now you're supposed to just move in together, live together, and be husband and wife, and it's a whole new sort of type of life. So speaking about that sort of...
It's a radical adjustment.
Yeah, it's quite a radical adjustment. Especially, amongst more religious circles, boys and girls don't really mix. The whole idea of living with the opposite gender, that whole experience is a very... Yeah, is an adjustment, which was fine, and I think it's an important topic to talk about. But I just think the way it was spoken about sparked in me something, because there was a paragraph over there, and I'm paraphrasing, that people, this writer was complaining almost, that people talk a lot about what they call the shidduch crisis, which means basically people who want to get married but can't find someone, and it's very painful, if you're dating for like 10 years and you can't find the one, and then it's a sort of an in-between stage, and it's a very hard stage to be in. And they were talking about, people talk a lot about that, but they don't talk enough about the struggles of someone who is married. Like, someone who gets married and they have to go through this adjustment, they don't feel comfortable to complain because, I got married, so you're lucky, right? So like, who are you to complain? And I was just thinking about it, like, just putting those two things in the same sentence sparked in me a line that not every challenge is a crisis, and I want to sort of talk about that with you today.
Can I just say, as you were saying this, I just thought of something. It's actually ridiculous, and it sounds a bit like, because I want to say this to make the point, then we can talk about it and discuss it.
Yeah,
sounds like saying, people talk about infertility, about the crisis, the tragedy of couples not having children.
That's right.
But they don't talk enough about the hardships of having children.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you've got to be serious.
That's right.
Now, anyone who's had children knows it's hard.
It is a challenge, correct.
It's adjustment. It's That's hard. Right. Kids throw tantrums. Kids don't listen.
They upend your whole life. I mean, it's a totally different life once you have kids. Right. It's
And what we say is, halavai alamin gezakt. In other words, we say, we hope that everyone should have this challenge.
Right.
It's called normal life.
Correct.
Welcome to normal life.
Right, it's called...
Yeah, does exactly. It need work? It does need work. Yeah. So that's what it reminds me of. Like saying, I mean, I should have, yeah. So
I just want to go backwards to say, I think this might be a little bit controversial, and I'd love to hear people's feedback about what I'm about to say. But I think we have to understand, because this is where I think this is coming from, and I think it's coming from a good place, but I think we went too far. I think what we have to realize, and this is about everything in life, every change that we make in society or anything that we do has a price. Right. Even if it's a good thing, it has a price. So for example, seatbelts in a car is a very good thing, saves lives, but it has a price. It's not like some people have gotten stuck in a car because of seatbelts and have been burnt in their car and couldn't get out because the seatbelt got stuck, right? Even good things have a price. And the reason why it's important to acknowledge that is when you acknowledge that, you try to mitigate it. You try to limit how much the price is, right? So... everything that we do, another example, which I think is a little bit less controversial now. I mean, it may have been more controversial 2 years ago. But like COVID lockdowns, for example, right? So no matter what you think about it, even if you think it was the right thing to do, which we can maybe have a different podcast about that, maybe in hindsight it wasn't. But let's say at the time, let's say it was. I think what annoyed me the most perhaps about it is people who weren't willing to acknowledge that there is a price, right? So... you may think it's the right thing to do because it's a terrible disease going around. This is the only way to deal with it. But you also have to acknowledge there's a mental health crisis because of it. There's people not getting going to school because of it. So everything we do, even if it's good, society does have to acknowledge the price. And I think the same thing is when it comes to mental health awareness. Mental health awareness is a very good thing that's happened. as we've discussed many times, and you're very involved in mental health, and you give a lot of classes on mental health, and of course it's all very important. I think we also have to acknowledge that there is a price that we've paid in that. What's happened is, you know, we feel it's so important to acknowledge what people go through that we've now made everything that everyone goes through is now a crisis and a problem, and you need therapy for it, and you need... It even mentioned in this article that someone is going through this first year of marriage to have a therapist to talk to. I mean, now obviously, see, here's the thing, right? We've become more aware of domestic abuse, right? So let's say someone gets married and they didn't know this before, and they suddenly realize that their husband or wife, whatever it is abusive, whether physically or emotionally. And that is something that we have to be aware of. That is a crisis. That is something that you need therapy for, you need professional help for. But that doesn't mean that now regular life, which is called marriage, and marriage is an adjustment, and marriage is hard, and marriage is difficult, you suddenly need a team of therapists to deal with it. Maybe it's just called growing up. Anyway, sorry for the long introduction here, but yeah, that's my thoughts on the matter.
I think you're 100% right. So I'll tell you my thoughts, right? So there's definitely a phrase that's used, and I think it's correct, that we're over-pathologizing, and that comes with a price of awareness, that's true. So...
I'm not saying, by the way, mental health awareness is a bad thing because of that. I'm just saying we do need to acknowledge that there is a price that we're paying.
Absolutely. Mental health awareness is a very good thing. Destigmatization is a very important thing, and raising awareness. However, there is that danger and that price of changing things that are... Whenever you do something, you have to understand its price and you have to deal with the price.
Right.
Because if you don't deal with it, then you deal with it wrong and it becomes damaging. So, for example, everything has side effects, everything has risks, everything has a price to pay, as you say. So, therefore, calling something a mental health crisis when it's not, for example, is a problem because life has challenges, life has adjustments, life has things to work through, which are meant to be worked through by a person taking responsibility, knowing there's a problem. We have our regular ways of dealing with things. It might be learning some spiritual stuff. It might be a friend. It might be a mentor. It's normal things, and you have to do the work.
Yeah.
As soon as you call something that's not a crisis, you do two things. First of all, you engage in a strategy which actually could be harmful, because you're taking away the responsibility of yourself. You delegate. You're almost outsourcing the problem, right? You're outsourcing the problem to someone else. Oh, I'm going to run to a therapist. They're going to take care of me. No, it's just you just experience regular life and get on with it and work hard. Now, it is very important to go back to your article. It's very important when you get married to...
Know that it's hard.
That it's adjustment. To know that you can always share with people. It doesn't have to be a regular therapist. It can be a friend. It can be a parent. It can be... just someone you could talk to. It could be learning the art of communication. You can read a couple of books on marriage if you think it's important, right? All these things are really important, but don't make it into a crisis. When you over-pathologize and you make something into a crisis, it isn't a crisis. It's normal life. In fact, it's a blessing, right? If you find yourself not being, you get married and 6 weeks later or 2 months later, you're not quite sure how to communicate something to your wife, mazel tov, you arrive.
You're now married.
Right? You're growing up. I mean, that's great.
The example, let me just give you the example they brought in that article just to show you how far. The example was, there was a woman who sat there and she got married and she, it's almost laughable. And she put the orange juice back in the fridge without twisting the lid on properly. That's how she closed the orange juice. And the husband had a thing that every time he drank juice, he always shook the bottle. And she didn't know that, so he took the bottle out of the fridge and shook it very hardly, and it went all over the place. So he was upset at her that she didn't put on the lid properly. He was upset at him, why are you shaking the juice so hard? This is not a crisis. I'm sorry. That is just called a man and a woman getting married to each other and living life together. That's what it's called. That doesn't need a therapist. That just needs... two adults to sit down and have a conversation. That's what it is.
So when I got married, just to a point, I grew up in South Africa where ingrained in me was, when I was in yeshiva, I don't know, we ate off disposable plates and stuff, cups and stuff, right. So it wasn't a problem. When I grew up in South Africa, I'm sorry to say this, but this is true, we were very spoiled because we had a lot of domestic help.
Yeah.
And we ate meals where we used a lot of dishes and stuff. We just got up and walked away from the table because someone else was going to clean it up.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was good or bad. I'm just saying that was
that's
the fact.
That's the fact. Yeah.
That was reality. Well, after I got married, I had a cup, a little bit of fuel. It wasn't right away because I think your mother was a little bit... she didn't want to tell me right away. But I took a drink of, I think it was orange juice or something, one morning, and left it on the table. Anyway, I didn't do that too much afterwards. I was reminded that we don't have any maids, and that the least I could do is put it in the sink,
right.
if not wash it up.
Right.
Anyway, you get through these things, you work it through. Yes, you're, you know, yeah. and if you're not sure to work it through, think about it. You have to be mature. Exactly. You see, creating a crisis out of not causing a little orange juice and then spritzing it all over the kitchen means you're making a crisis out of anything, and therefore you're becoming disabled. That's what it really means, right?
Yeah.
If you're running to it, and by the way, therapists don't always give the right advice because they turn it into a crisis, and you turn something into a crisis that could be equally disastrous, right?
Yeah.
By the way, the same thing is happening with everything. You know, not every time a person is anxious, they have anxiety. Not every time a person is feeling low, they're depressed.
Yeah.
Not every time something a bit challenging happens to you does it mean you're experiencing trauma. Trauma, it has become, now the awareness of trauma is fantastic, but the over-pathologizing of trauma is a big problem. Not everyone has trauma. Now that everyone's, it's a new fad, like everyone has trauma and intergenerational trauma and my grandfather's trauma, my great-grandmother's trauma, everyone's trauma I'm carrying around, and I really better go do some very deep work to get rid of my trauma. Not yep. everyone has trauma. Not everyone has been traumatized. We have challenges. Life is about challenges.
Yep.
And challenges are things that help you grow if you deal with them the right way. Sometimes we need to do the work that we need to do. We need to learn. We need to engage in self-growth. I'm not saying, but not everything needs a professional, and not everything needs to be termed as a crisis. And I want to take one step further. When you term something a crisis when it isn't, I think it's actually disrespectful, and we're belittling those that are actually really going through a crisis.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. For someone to mislabel their own challenges as trauma is an offense to people who are really going through trauma.
Who have gone through
actual abuse or actual trauma or actual really, you know, real neglect or real trauma or whatever the case is, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be very, very careful. That's one issue. And the other issue, just to reemphasize, I think part of life is hard work.
Yeah.
Right? It's not about losing ourselves. It's hard work. And that's part of fundamental Jewish thought as well. I think part of the fundamentals of Jewish thought is that we have bechira, we have free choice. Free choice means we can choose right from wrong, we can choose to do the right thing, we can choose to do the wrong thing. And bechira, free choice, brings with it a very deep level of responsibility. That we are responsible, we have people, and we're responsible for our own behavior, right? The Talmud, I've mentioned this before, the Gemara, the Talmud talks about people who are affected by the day of the week they're born, by the hour they're born in, by the environment, nature, nurture, it's there. Everything you want is there. But the fundamental principle is that we're not bound by any of it, and we have choice. We have choices to improve our relationships. We have choices to have trust in Hashem and overcome our worry if it's at normal levels. These are challenging things. Anxiety is a challenging thing at a normal level. Now, sometimes it really becomes a crisis.
If it's crippling you, if you can't live life,
The problem is, the less, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy sometimes. The less you understand your own power and the power of your own responsibility and the power of your own choices and the power of your own growth to take responsibility for it, to learn about it, to really make changes and so on and so forth, the more you don't do that and the more you become disabled and the more you actually affect yourself in such a way that it actually becomes a crisis because you become disabled. Self-inflicted disability.
Yeah.
Self-inflicted paralysis. So yes, I think you're 100% right. I mean, that example is a point of case. You absolutely cannot compare the shidduch crisis to
being married.
To being married.
And you can't compare actually having children to not having children.
It's
right?
just ridiculous. Not being able, the crisis that's going on now, but people not being able to find their bashert, not being able to find, is a real crisis. I think that it has its roots in some very fundamental problems when people are very young, about basic respect and basic responsibility and basic lack of self-centeredness. I think it's got its roots there as well. That's why people want perfection, all that stuff. But it is a real crisis. I mean, the fact that people aren't getting married and are able to get married and then they're 30s and their 40s or whatever, and they still haven't found a suitable marriage partner, and that is a real crisis, and it demands and it calls for drastic intervention.
Right.
When you get married, mazel tov. Yes, I mean I counsel a lot of couples before they get married as part of the pre-marriage sort of counseling that we do, and we talk about that.
That's important.
Very, very important.
Preparation.
But part of what we talk about is that it's going to be an adjustment.
Yeah.
And that, yes, everyone thinks differently, just normal relationship stuff. Grow up, don't be so self-centered, learn to compromise, learn to understand other people's viewpoints. It's not, you don't need major therapy for this.
Yeah.
A couple of lessons, a couple of shurim and bina could do the trick if you're a healthy person.
That's right.
If you're a healthy person, that is, right? Now, yeah. Sometimes you're right. But of course you need to know, you need to be aware that things could go horribly wrong, and then you have to reach out to some professional. Or even if not, you can talk to people. You can have your one or two people that it's not a crisis, but maybe just a bit of direction, a bit of guidance. We always tell couples that, you know, check in, don't wait till it becomes a crisis. I must say that is sometimes the problem, where it's actually not a crisis, but people wait too long and it becomes a real crisis because they didn't know really simple strategies that they could just do and it'll be fine. Just work on it. It's definitely not a crisis unless it becomes one, but it doesn't need to become one if you put in the work, or unless people aren't healthy or abusive, as you said before. So,
and we're not, God forbid, belittling those situations, and those are actually serious situations.
Like, just bring it back to Yom HaZikaron. What we heard last night, that's real trauma.
Yeah, that was real. Yeah.
And yet, by the way, these people in Israel, even though it's real trauma, they seem to still have this amazing resilience.
Yeah, it is
an amazing spark. But that is real trauma. I mean, come on, things that people saw, phew, that's a real traumatic experience.
For sure.
Things that people experienced.
Can I maybe perhaps even get even more controversial? I don't know if this maybe, I don't know, it will be interesting to see what people say about this, but maybe there's another angle here also, and another root for all of this, and that has to do with parenting methods nowadays. Like, because, and again, this has some good things to it, but I think there's a price, like we said before. Because we're very, very into, you know, this concept of, like, you know, gentle parenting, and then, you know, we don't just, like, beat up kids anymore, you know, you just, like, beat them into, just listen to me and all of that. We sort of went to the other extreme. And every time a child's upset, you sit with them for a half hour and you deal with their feelings, and are we feeling this, are you feeling that? Maybe we're catastrophizing things. Like, you know, if a child is playing and it's time to go to bed, and they get very upset about it, and you sit with them for 45 minutes trying to work through that quote-unquote crisis or trauma that they're going through, because they feel very... You know, maybe that's the prerequisite to calling, having a dispute about orange juice being lit tied on to being a catastrophe. I mean, is that connected?
100%, 100%. I think... Yeah, I mean, look, there's no question, again, people need to be able to combine things and just be normal, right? What I mean... It helps to be normal.
That was a very deep philosophical line.
Profound,
there.
Very profound. That's right. Now, what I mean to say is, of course, parenting needs love. No one's disputing that. Of course.
Times have changed from
100
years ago.
Kids need love. They're growing up in a very, very tough world. They need love. They need to feel safe. All of that is true.
Needs to be more gentle than it used to be.
Maybe more gentle. And we have to create a really warm, loving environment for them to really feel safe. Then they, you know, they're not in survivor mode. That's true. It's all true, and it's 100% true. But the fundamentals of parenting don't change. We're allowed to say no. Also, we don't have this overemphasis on gentle parenting and emotional social training about, you know, a kid does something, a kid hits their sibling. I'm sorry, in my books, when a kid hits their sibling, it's one of the no-nos, it's a red line. You say, no, we don't do that in this house. Finished. End of story.
Yeah.
We don't say things, I can see you're angry. Are you feeling angry? Why are you feeling angry? Are you kidding? It's a little kid. He's angry because the kid took away his toy or something. I don't know. It's all normal stuff. But we don't have to start. It's for another time. But there's a recent book that's been put out about it called Bad Therapy by Abigail Schreier. And it's a controversial book.
Quite a controversial book.
Yeah. We could discuss it a different time. It has some really good things there. And so you don't have to, like, you know, the overemphasis on how you're feeling and your emotion. Of course we have to have healthy emotion. Of course we have to not be dismissive of children, and we have to validate them to some degree also. But saying no is an important part of life. Giving kids responsibility is an important part of life.
I think it's also, it's building like almost like an immune system.
Correct.
To hardships.
Let them.
The challenge.
Yes. And you also can't cotton wool them. Let them go outside and ride their bikes. And if they fall, they fall. And if they get a scratch, they get a scratch. And give them responsibility. And yeah, they might fail, and it's fine. Failure is a good part of growth. And it's all thing. I mean, you know, we believe the Torah is eternal. It just needs to obviously be applied in each case in its right way. So we know King Solomon said, spare the rod and spoil the child.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed. Now, it's not quite with the rod today. We know that doesn't work and it's not effective. But it's not meant to be only a rod. It's about the concept. You need to have firmness together. You need to have limits. You need to have boundaries. You need to have responsibility. You need to allow for failure. All that stuff is so important. Together with love, they can exist together. It doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. So it has to be, and not everything has to be explained, and not everything has to be how you're feeling about it. They just, you know, child, parents have forgotten also they are an authority, and they have to be an authority. They have to be a nice authority, a benevolent authority. Parenting is a benevolent dictatorship. It's not a democracy, you know, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because we have an authority. We have a responsibility to teach our children values and so on and so forth. So yeah, I think it's all connected.
All right. So if anyone has any comments or questions or wants to argue with us, please do.
I think this is a topic.
Send them in.
We'll need a second. We'll need some more
follow-up
discussion. But
for sure.
In the meantime, everyone should have a great day. See you next time.